Good morning.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Gernard Reed with the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast as part of the Fivefold Ministry broadcast, and I am Gernard Reed. Our outreach number is 804-313-7853. My email is goteachandbaptize, all one word, at gmail.com. It's GOTEACHANDBAPTIZE at gmail.com. We are excited today to bring to you once again Minister Michael Gray. He's preached for the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast faithfully before, brings a powerful and a strong word, and I've never actually introduced him on the broadcast. So this morning, I'm going to give you a brief introduction before Minister Gray gets loose and starts preaching. He is a great man of God and a soldier in the army of the Lord. He's married to, his name is actually Michael Gray. He was born and raised in Warsaw, Virginia. He's married to Marlene Gray. They have 5 children and 4 grandchildren. Michael also has a son getting married next week. Let the church say amen. Michael studied and graduated from Grace and Mercy Bible College. In 2010, he became a licensed minister. He also has served as a deacon and an elder in that church. In 2018, he returned back to his home church, Second Baptist Church in Warsaw, under the leadership of the Reverend Dr. James R. Johnson. In 2019, he became licensed at that church and promoted to associate minister at the Second Baptist Church. When not in the pulpit, you can certainly find him on Facebook ministering to people because somebody has helped him. Minister Gray often tells people that he loves the Lord and he is grateful for his progress. And I agree, indeed. I did seek and search him out for this broadcast, and there are a few things that stand out. He's a man of faith. He's a man of obedience. If he says he's going to do something, it gets done. He's a man of discipline and order. I like to surround myself with people that have discipline and order because I don't have the best discipline and order. The Bible says, he who walks with wise men shall be wise, and therefore I surround myself with people of discipline and order. I sought him out also because he does a daily devotional on Facebook. Every morning early, he gets up and he sends a post to all of the his friends and the listeners, and it's a word of encouragement every time. That is so difficult to do every day, to write an encouragement for that many friends. And so I give to you today to preach the gospel for us on the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast as part of the Fivefold Ministry broadcast, the Minister Michael Gray.
Amen. Good morning. Our scripture this morning is coming from Joshua 6, 2 and 5. I am Minister Michael Gray, and I thank Pastor Reed and Apostle Mercer for the opportunity to come before you on this morning. Let us open up first thing with a word of prayer. Precious Father, as we come together today on this line, Lord, we ask for your blessings, Lord. We ask, God, that your word would go out, God. Oh, God, let your word scatter out and fall on receiving hearts this morning, God. Oh, God, hide me behind your veil, Lord, and speak to me and through me. Oh, God, say what you want to say through me, Lord, and may your word go out, Lord, and help somebody, that somebody may come and ask, what must they do to be saved? Lord, we thank you right now for the good things and the best things and the great things that are to come. Oh, God, we thank you right now. We bless your name. It is Jesus' name. And we all say amen. 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 And the Bible reads, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hands Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty men of value. And yes, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thou shalt do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets, a round horn. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times, and the priest shall blow with the horn. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall extend up every man straight before him. People, it's time to tear down the walls. Amen. Many Christians this morning are sitting behind the walls that are keeping us from the blessings of God. The walls that we are sitting behind has stopped us from reaching the place in life that we want to get to. We must understand that the walls must come down. Now, we sit behind walls for various things. It may be because the life that we live, our past, or whatever keeps us behind these walls, we sit behind these walls and we don't believe that God is moving on our behalf. Well, I come to tell you this morning that God is moving on your behalf. The reason you can't see God moving on your behalf is because you're sitting behind the walls. We have to tear down the walls and begin to give God praise. For he's mighty. He's mighty. We must understand that the walls must come down in order for us to reach the places that God has called us to be. We must not allow the walls to keep us burdened down. If we allow the walls to keep us burdened down, we will never reach the place that God wants us to be. Instead, we'll be led to the place where the enemy wants us to be. As long as we are behind the walls, the enemy is satisfied. Why would I say that? Why would you say that? The enemy is satisfied because we're not moving anywhere. We're not going anywhere. We're scared. We're trapped behind the wall. We don't give God praise from behind the wall. No one can see us from behind the wall. The enemy cannot see us praising God because we're behind the wall. We have to come from amongst the wall. Come from amongst the wall and begin to give God praise. The walls that we're hiding behind will keep us from our wealth, our healthy living, and everything that God has promised us. We hide behind the walls because we have no faith. How many times do we actually say that we trust God, we love him, we believe in him, and yet when he doesn't show up, when we want him to show up, we don't have any faith in him. We go back on our word because things aren't happening the way that we want them to happen. So when that doesn't happen, we get behind the wall and we won't come out and we won't let anyone in. The walls are out, hide behind the walls of faith, or we have very little faith. But we must remember that God has given us a divine plan for accomplishing the mission. It's time for us to tear down the walls, y'all. It's time for us to come from behind the walls and begin to rejoice and lift our hands. Every day isn't going to be a good day. Every day, things might not go our way every day, but we have the opportunity to give God praise in the midst of our storm. The reason why we are stuck behind the walls is because we don't know how to give God praise in the midst of our storm. We let the storm come, and we sit there, and we wait, hoping that it's going to pass over. But I want to tell you this morning, the best way to get out of the storm is to praise your way of your storm. You have to begin to shout and praise God and thank him for the storm that you're in. Because most of the time, we're in a storm because we're going to learn something. But if we sit behind the walls, there's no way we're going to be able to show God how much we love him, how much we trust him. Come from behind the walls. God has your back. Why are we sitting behind the walls. If we trust God and we love him and we said that he would bring us through, why are we sitting behind the walls? Come from behind the walls. If we as people of God would understand that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, God is right there with us. He said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. We're going to go through some stuff. We're going to deal with some stuff. We're going to face trials and tribulations. There are going to be days that we don't feel like going. There's going to be days we don't feel like dealing with stuff. And God has promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So we have that to look forward to. So no matter how much trouble come my way, what I have to deal with, what I have to face in the morning, I know that God said that he would never leave me or forsake me. So when I'm getting up and I'm getting ready to go out and face what I have to face, I'm able to give God praise because I've come behind the wall and God has promised that he's never going to forsake me. We as believers must understand that whatever wall we are dealing with is in our lives, the walls must come down. If we're dealing with health problems, we must be able to speak to the devil and let him know that we will not be sick another day. Now, we go to the doctor and we get the news, and right then we go behind the wall and we stay there because the doctor said that you're not doing good, or we're not doing good, or this and that. Instead of us talking to that thing and telling the devil that he's alive, the truth ain't in him, I will live and not die, we have to begin to talk back to the words that Satan has put before us. If we are serving a right now God, we should have a right now praise. We should be able to praise God in the baddest storm. No matter what he's told me, I'm going to walk out there. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to say, Lord, I thank you for my trials and my tribulations. But I know that you're able to bring me out. We must testify so that others will know the goodness of God. This will be our breakthrough. We go through different phases in life. God brings us out. He brings us through this. He brings us through that. And expect us to get up and testify for what we do. We sit down on the testimony. We sit down on how good God is. Well, I come to tell you that there's somebody that needs your testimony. Somebody needs to hear that God is good. Somebody needs to hear that God took me through this. God brought me through that. We cannot sit down on the testimony of God. We have to tell people just how good God is. Don't tell me somebody else's testimony. Don't tell me what God done for them. Tell me what God has done for you. Tell me how you were in the Mari clay, how we were down in the valley, how we were there. And God brought us through. Tell your own testimony. We're still alive here to tell our own testimony. We're not in the ground. We're still a living being, so we should be able to testify on our own. And that's a testimony in itself. No matter what I've been through, no matter what I'm going through, I'm still here to tell my own testimony. There's some walls that we're dealing with right now that need to come down. Bring down the wall of depression. God doesn't want us broke, busted, and disgusted. Stand fast. Be who God has called you to be. Some of us are still dealing with the same, sitting in the same place we were last year. Not because God isn't moving. It's because we're behind the wall. We're behind the wall. And we're just sitting there. We ain't doing anything. But God will meet us halfway if he come out. But we don't want to come out. So we want to sit behind a wall and not give God his praise and not give him his due. If we don't live right and give God all that we have, then we will never receive the blessings of God. He had to give all to God, everything, everything, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whatever. We have to give it all to God and let him be the judge of us. Don't let people judge who you are. Let God judge you, and he will give you blessing from him. People cannot bless, people can bless you, but the blessings are better when they come from God. We have to bring down the walls of overcoming people, not worrying what people say or think about us. Now, we find this is a big thing. This is a big thing. We worry what people say about us, what they think about us. Things have happened 20, 30 years ago, and we're still holding on to it. Why? Because we're worried about it. We're worried about what people think about it. But I come to tell you this morning that people don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. People are going to be people. We have to still give God praise no matter what's going on. Don't worry about people. Just be who God has called you to be. You need to impress God. You don't have to impress people. Because at the end of the day, at that day of when we leave here, we're going to have to stand up for our own self. People are not going to stand for us. So be who God has called you to be. We all have a past, but who remembers that? Only you do. Only I do. We're only remembering our own past. God wants the glory out of our lives, but we can't give him the glory out of our lives if we're stuck behind a wall scared to move. Let's stop changing to shoot people and change so that we are disciples of God. Don't let people change you. If God ain't changing you, then it's not worth a change. Don't sit there and let people tell you who we should be or who we shouldn't be when God is calling us to be all that we can be. Another wall that we need to come down is our obedience to God and his word. This is why we're struggling financially, spiritually, and physically. We hear the word, but we don't do things the way we want them done, not God's way. We struggle with obedience. We struggle listening to God. We know the word, we hear the word, but yet we don't do the word. We have a hard time following God's instructions. Not when we want something now, we tend to follow God's instructions. But when God is giving us instructions about going here or doing this, we tend to go off on our own. We want to do our own thing. But we have to be obedient to God. We have to listen so we may hear from him. We can't hear from God if we're behind a wall where we can't see what's going on. How can he minister to us if we are behind a wall, we won't let him in? It's time that we tear down the wall. It's time that we begin to give God his praise. It's time we forget about things that happened years ago. It's time that we tear down the wall. What wall is keeping us from God? Is it the wall of pride? Is it the wall of hate? Is it the wall of envy? What wall is keeping you from God? What wall is keeping you from letting God do what he has to do in your life? It's time we tear down these walls. It's time we come from behind the wall and be who God has called us to be. We may march the first day and nothing happened. And we might be marching on the sixth day and still nothing happened. But while we're marching and preparing for the wall to come down, we need to start giving God praise anyway. Go ahead and begin to give God praise as your wall begin to crumble. Keep marching. Don't give up. Keep marching. Even if the wall don't come down right now because you want it, don't mean that God ain't going to bring the wall down. We have to keep marching. When we get the news, I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what the bill collectors say. God is whatever we need him to be in this season. But it can't be who he needs to be if we're hiding behind a wall. Come now from behind the wall. God has some blessings in store for you. But he can't give you your blessings if you're behind the wall. Come ye from behind the wall. Begin to get free. Raise your hands and begin to give God praise. Let the devil know that we're coming out. I don't care what it looks like right now. I'm coming out. Send the devil notice. Tell him that, devil, you might have had me where I didn't know what I was doing. I said, you notice this morning that I'm coming from behind my wall. I'm tearing down a wall this morning, and I'm coming forth. And I'm gonna begin to give God praise right in the midst of what I'm going through. I'm gonna begin to lift my hands and shout. And as long as I have the devil down under my feet, I might as well go on and stomp on him a little while. Begin to give God praise, for he's worthy this morning. Let's come from behind the wall. Let's be who God has called us to be. God is calling us this morning. He's calling us. But he can't find us because we're hiding behind the wall. We wonder why we're troubled on every hand. We wonder why this don't go right and that don't go right. We wonder why I'm lacking this and I don't have that. It's because he don't know our needs because we're behind the wall. We're not only hiding from man, but we're hiding from God. God knows who you are. God knows your story and your testimony. Come ye from behind the wall and begin to give God praise. The walls must be torn down. I'm trusting God and everything is going to be all right. Why? Because he told me that he would never leave me nor forsake me. He told me that he would be with me even to the end of time. So I don't need to hide behind the walls because of my past or whatever I have going on. I'm going to come out from behind the wall and I'm going to face what's troubling me. I'm going to give it to God and watch him work it out. I'm going to be able to come out this thing and I'm going to be able to raise my hand and I'm not going to be defeated. The doctor reports won't defeat me. The things I hear won't defeat me. The news won't defeat me. What people say about me won't defeat me. Whatever I'm going through right now won't defeat me because I'm coming from behind the wall. And when I get from behind the wall, I'm going to shout and give God a Holy Ghost praise. Oh, somebody, this morning, we need to come from behind the wall, look and see what's keeping you behind the wall. Begin to tear the wall down. Oh, reach up and tear the wall down this morning and tell Satan that you're coming up. Say, I'm coming out this morning. And I'm going to be shiny and new. God has some work for me to do. So I'm coming out this morning. I'm no longer living any kind of way. I'm no longer carrying around hate. I'm no longer living in jealousy. I'm no longer harboring envy. I'm no longer carrying around bitterness and grief. I'm no longer holding somebody else. Being mad with somebody else that things have happened way long time ago. This morning, I'm coming out from behind the wall and I'm ready to give God praise. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
You want to open the doors, my brother?
Yes. The doors are, we open up right now. Anybody that, out here that needs to have prayer, we open up right now. If you're not saved and you want, and you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, now is the time. Don't wait for tomorrow. But tomorrow might not come. Now is the time that we come forth to be who God has called us to be. Do I have one on the line this morning? Or maybe you just need a word of prayer this morning. Is there one on the line this morning?
Amen. We thank you, my brother. Everything we said it would be. We do need to tear down those walls, and Joshua is an excellent example. We thank you for that word, that anointed word from God, and certainly anyone who wishes to respond to the invitation, the phone number for this broadcast is 804-313-7853, 804-313-7853, and the email is goteachandbaptize@gmail.com, GOTEACHANDBAPTIZE, goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. We thank you, Minister Gray. We pray that you'll have a great day in the Lord today. We pray you bless the blessings of the Lord upon Second Baptist Church. Amen. We move now into the remainder of the fivefold ministry broadcast. I'm sitting in for Apostle Margie Mercer, who's on special assignment this week. I'm sitting in for her. This is my first time sitting in here. I have done the slot, but it's the first time for me sitting in. Again, I'm Gernard Reed. And so we're going to begin actually with a song, and then we're going to move into the broadcast. We're going to ask that, as I gave the contact information for my email and the telephone number, we're going to ask that you keep your pens, pencil, paper, your Bible handy, as I will go into a teaching in the next hour. And you're going to need a pen and paper for this teaching. I think it's powerful. I think it's something that's lasting. So we're going to do that. I want to do a tribute as best I can to the mother of our church from some years ago, my home church. She wrote a song and incorporated in that song. In this day and time, organized religion is under attack. It's under attack from the atheists who believe, honestly, are believing and teaching that organized religion is responsible for mass murders and deaths and the woes and the rough times of this world. And they are making a case that if it were not for organized religion, this world would be a better place. Now, we know that to be wrong. We know that to be uninformed, but that's the attack. But then even in the church, folk are coming out against religion and saying that we are not religious. We are of God. We are faithful. We are committed. We're dedicated, but we're not religious. Religious means to be devoted. Religious means to be devoted. And so religion is of people that are devoted. And so we've allowed the world to take a word and bash the word. The world is not strong enough to come out and say, bold enough to say that God is wrong, that God is bad, because they believe there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So because they believe there's no God, they can't come against a God that doesn't exist. So they come against organized religion. Say, no, it's not your God that's the problem. It's your religion. And oftentimes the church will play right into that and go along with it. And again, one of my ministries is the authority of the church. So I speak out against this, and I preserve, yes, I'm part of a religion. Yes, I'm part of a denomination. Yes, I'm part of a group that loves the Lord and is committed to serving him in a special way, in a separated way that's different from the way other people serve it, but there's nothing wrong with the way they serve it. There's nothing wrong with that. I happen to be Baptist. Nothing wrong with Pentecostalism. I enjoy Pentecostalism. There's nothing wrong with being Methodist. There's nothing wrong with being Episcopalian. I serve him this particular way. We all believe the same scriptures. We all believe Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We all believe the same scriptures, but we serve him as this group this way, respecting the right of all other people to serve him in a slightly different way, perhaps. Maybe they serve communion differently. Maybe they baptize differently. But this is the way the group I'm part of does it. So when folk attack religion, they're not attacking me, but they're attacking all people that are serving God in a disciplined way. And so I stand against that. You are attacking religion because you don't believe in a God. I'm not going to join you in that and beat up on the people of my own religion within Christianity that we need to work out. There's some attitudes. There's some movements we need to address. My ministry, the Jeremiah Speaks ministry, is dedicated to removing idolatry from the church. There's a lot of idolatry and symbolism within the way we worship, within our religion. So, yes, there's some cleaning up to do, but at the same time, religion is not bad. Don't let anybody fool you with that. So my tribute here is to the mother of the church, my home church. She wrote a song. We don't know where she got it from. Maybe she lifted the words from somewhere, but it's public domain now. And so I'm going to sing that song as best I can to move into the next broadcast. Tell me, what is religion? Religion is love. What is religion? Religion is love. Somebody, what is religion? Religion is love. Religion is a thing coming down from above. Well, you say you got religion and you don't love. Well, you say you love the one that rules above. Yeah, you say you love the one you never seen before. But you don't love your neighbor that live next door. Well, tell me, what is religion? Religion is love. What is good religion? Religion is love. Somebody, what is religion? Religion is love. Religion is a thing coming down from above. Well, religion was a thing that money could buy. Then the rich would live and the poor would die. But see, I thank God, I see that's not so, because the rich got to pray just as well as the poor. Well, tell me, what is religion? Religion is love. What is good religion? Religion is love. Somebody, what is religion? Religion is love. Religion is a thing coming down from above. Well, you say you got religion and you don't love. Yeah, you say you love the one that rules above. You say you love the one you never seen before, but you don't love the neighbor that live next door. Well, tell me, what is religion? Religion is love. What is good religion? Religion is love. Somebody, what is religion? Religion is love. Religion is the thing coming down, oh Lord, from above. Amen. Good morning to everybody. Good morning. Good morning. This is Gernard Reed of the Jeremiah Speaks Ministry, sitting in the 9 o'clock hour for the Apostle Marjorie Mercer, who is on special assignment this week. And we come to share the good news of Jesus Christ with you. And we continue the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast through this hour. We usually come on as part of her broadcast at 8:30, and then she shifts into high gear at 9 o'clock. But this morning, we're going to continue. We were blessed with a word coming from Minister Michael Gray at 8:30 this morning. If you missed it, I'm sorry that you missed it. And he commanded and cried for us to come out from behind the walls, trust the Lord, and lean and depend on our God. And he spoke about that this morning, coming from Joshua, the 6th chapter, verses 2 through 5. And I come following up on that with a teaching session. And the teaching session, I think, is unique. And we ask if you would get your pencil and paper and pen and paper and be ready to take some notes. And take some notes. I believe there are some notes to take this morning. And I'm going to go through we were talking about the ACTS prayer, A-C-T-S. And again, I'll give out the contact information. It's the phone number for this broadcast. It's 804-313-7853. That's the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast phone number, 804-313-7853. If you call that number and I see a foreign area code, I may not answer it because of spam and so forth. Or so what you can do is text me. And if you text me, then we'll give you a response if that's what you're looking for. Or we'll pray with you and so on and so forth. But if you call and don't get an answer, do send a text. We also have an email. Email is just a wonderful thing. Is we can respond and we can correspond through email. It's goteachandbaptize@gmail.com, goteachandbaptize. @gmail.com. Moving right into the word today, our base scripture, our send-off scripture is Luke, the 18th chapter and the first verse, and it simply says, part B of that verse simply says, men ought to always pray and not faint. Jesus says this. It's in red in most Bibles. Men ought to always pray. All wise, eternal God, and our righteous King, Lord, we come to thee on fire this morning, having heard the word of God, and coming before thee behind the word of God with the teaching of God. Father, we pray that you will empty me of me and fill me with thee. Turn me upside down, shake out all the impurities. Allow me to speak as thus saith the Lord and not myself. Lord, I come back before thee asking that you'll turn me back right side up, fill me with the spirit of the living and true God, and seal me with the seal of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we come before thee at this hour praying for whoever's listening right now, whoever's on the air, whoever is tuned in all across the globe. We pray unto thee, Father, that you will bless them to have ears that will hear, that all things that take us out of focus, all things that cause us not to hear what's going on, distractions going on in our homes, distractions in our minds, and those things that dwell on us, take away for this teaching, take away aches and pains, arthritis, and knee pain, back pain, and any other pain. Take those away for the duration of this message. We pray, Father, that you would take away our worries and our woes. Some are worried about our children. Some are worried about our finances. Some are worried about our country. We pray that you'll take away all those things right now and replace them with an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Speak, O Lord, to our church right now. Speak to us. Bless God and keep us to do the holy and righteous will of the Lord. Lord, we give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. As you can see, I'm on fire and ready to talk about, to teach the holy and righteous word of the God. He's a good God, isn't he? He's a mighty good God. He's a mighty good God, and we give him all praise and honor, and he's worthy of our praise. I come to teach about how to talk to this mighty good God, how to have a relationship, a communication, a constant communication with him. He says in Luke 18:1b, men ought to always pray and not faint. Well, now we know that in modern translations and interpretations of this word, that he's not just saying men, but when he says men that, he means everybody. He means men, he means women, he means children. Everybody ought to pray and not faint. Simply meaning, as Paul said to the church at Philippi, pray without ceasing. Every chance you get, talk to the Lord. Prayer is not something that's systematically designed by somebody else for you to do. Prayer is an open communication between us and God. Prayer is a two-way communication. God does some speaking too. In our prayers, we ought to make room at the beginning, at the end, and even in the middle of, for God to say something. Sometimes we do all the talking, and we don't have any quiet time. We're hyped up like I am now. We've got so much to tell God. We don't give God a chance to get a word in. And somebody said, a great preacher that I know, a great preacher that I know said, you know, all of my sermons come to me in the middle of the night. And he said, I discovered why God speaks to me in the middle of the night clearly with his word, with his scripture, with his subject. It's because I can't shut up in the daytime. Ooh. So we move on. Men ought to always pray and not faint. Have you ever studied and pondered your own prayer life? I know God wants me to pray regularly, but am I doing enough? in his prayer back at my home church, the old deacon would say, Lord, teach us how to pray and what to pray for. He would say that in his prayer. Psalm 19:14. That's the first note. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation, a part of prayer, meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So even David, the great psalmist, prayed that God would sanctify his words to be acceptable. Remember, we remember that the scripture says about David that he was a man after God's own heart. So the man after God's own heart, a gifted lyricist and psalmist, prayed that God would sanctify his words, that they would be acceptable to God. So now, I think if David questioned that, if David knew he had to ask God for that sanctification, then who are we to overlook it? And who are we to not think that we need to ask God for the same thing? Am I praying the right way? Well, the disciples of Jesus observed Jesus praying in Luke 11:1. I read that earlier, Luke 11:1. And when he ceased from praying, they asked him to teach them to pray. I'm sorry, I read 18:1. Sorry. In Luke 11:1, when he ceased, they asked him to teach them to pray. So even Jesus' closest disciples wanted to learn more about how to pray. Notice in Luke 11:1, is only a few months before Calvary. So these disciples that asked him this question had been with Jesus for 3 years. They had performed miracles and no doubt been delivered from their own issues. They had seen Jesus pray. They had seen him pray for and heal hundreds, if not thousands, of people. They followed him and sat under his teaching for 3 years. Yet they still requested that Jesus teach them how to pray. This is his closest disciples that walked with him, lived with him, day in and day out, watching him. Yet 3 years after they have known him and walked with him, they're still asking him, Lord, teach us how to pray. Does that make anybody feel better this morning? That I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care what your title is in the church. If you feel like you need more strength in prayer, don't be ashamed to ask God or his servants to teach you how to pray. In Luke 11:2-4, Jesus responded, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now we know this as the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer, we call it. We learned that as children. The model prayer. First of all, the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is beautiful. Second of all, it's simple, yet all-encompassing. Well, not all-encompassing, but it's encompassing, but it's really simple. It includes praise, submission, request, repentance, many of the elements of all prayer. And it's precious and perfect. It's an endeared part of our life. Some people pray it once or twice every day because it's precious. However, the Lord's Prayer is not magical or all-encompassing. An example, it does not include thanksgiving, intercession, or some other elements of prayer. It is not so personal or specific. And again, it is not magical. It is a model prayer where Jesus said, pray like this. When you pray, pray like this. It is a model for us to build our prayer life around. In that model must be us. We must insert ourselves into the model. Jesus can't pray our prayers for us. He says, when you pray, pray like this. It's not magical. In fact, the words recorded in Luke 11 are a little different from the words recorded in Matthew 6. Jesus advises in Matthew 6, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Some people pray the Lord's Prayer many times, oftentimes. When they get in trouble, they pray the Lord's Prayer. When they're excited, they pray the Lord's Prayer. When they get up in the morning, they pray the Lord's Prayer. When they go to bed at night, they pray the Lord's Prayer. They just pray the Lord's Prayer. But Jesus advises, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathens do. You know, some people say the same prayer over and over in every situation, thinking it draws them closer to the Lord, which it does probably draw them a little closer to the Lord, but we'd be a lot better off to say what's on our mind. Let the church say amen. We would be a lot better off to say what's on our mind rather than just repeat the motto. So it does get vain repetition does get us in a certain focus, but it's not effective in that we're not specific. It says, Jesus says about the heathens, they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. They would pray themselves into a frenzy, and just as a blah, 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 stuff that somebody else had taught them. Prayer is our direct communication with God. So constantly repeating the Lord's Prayer does not draw us closer to God. Long prayers, let the church say amen, long prayers do not necessarily mean that they are effective prayers. We're talking about prayer here and personal prayer to God, a direct line of communication with God. So long prayers does not mean they're effective prayers. They're just long prayers. Nothing wrong with a long prayer between you and the Lord. It's wonderful to spend time with God, but that doesn't mean because you said a whole lot of words, that's effective. James, 5th chapter and 16th verse. James is hard. James is hard. James says, confess your faults for one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's James 5:16b. 5:16b, James 5:16b says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so here's the calculation here. Effectual means effective. Fervent means passionately intense, means I'm all about this. This is where my focus is. And righteous equals good moral standing with God. So effectual and fervent plus righteous makes much available. So he talks about righteousness as first, we've got to be lined up with God. If we want our prayers answered, we must first align ourselves with God. We can't be against God and believe that he will answer our prayers. We must first line ourselves up with God. The more we know about God, the more morally right we become with him. We become more righteous the more we know about him. The way we learn more about him is by reading his word and surrounding ourselves with his people. Let the church say amen. The way we become more morally in tune is to read his word, study his word, and surround ourselves with his people. So God gives us a model prayer and instructs us to pray often to, among other things, attain good standing with God. Then to be effective and passionately intense in our communication with him, personal and direct, and he will make much available unto us. Oh, what a promise. We do those three things. If we are effective, if we are passionate, and good moral standing with God, much is available to us through prayer. Then Mark 11:24 reveals, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. As a minister of the gospel, as an ordained minister of the gospel, I believe every word of the scriptures. I believe that our scripture is without error, that the word of God is perfect. I believe that there are mistakes in translation occasionally, and I believe that there are mistakes in the spellings of some things and the direct geography of some things, but I believe the word of God is perfect. And so if the word of God is perfect, when I see a promise like this, I take it to heart. I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. What is the much available? What does much available mean? Those things which you desire when you pray. Much is available, meaning those things which you desire when you pray. That's what much available is. Yet there is another thing. In Psalms 37:4, the psalmist says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Let me repeat that. Does that say what I think of? Delight yourself in the Lord. That speaks for itself. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. In Matthew 6:33, talks about the heathen and how they pray and what they want, and they want this and that. They want stuff. But we are not like them. But he says, seek ye first. This is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you, including stuff. So he says the first thing we need to do is align ourselves with God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Align ourselves with the righteousness of God. Learn to live like God. Learn to do those things that God is pleased by. And when we line ourselves up with that, through the scriptures and through prayer and through surrounding ourselves with the people of God, when we align ourselves, we don't want junk. We don't want every donut that's on the display. We want those things that will be kingdom-building things. We don't want every new car that comes out. We don't need a ring on every finger. We learn to love God, put God first. Yes, there are some adornments that we can have because they're the desires of our heart. But we're not all about foolishness and so and just decorating ourselves and showing off and all of that. That leaves, that covetous spirit leaves when we take on the spirit of Christ. So, yes, he'll give us stuff if we want stuff. Once we align with him. Unfortunately, when you align with him, you won't want as much stuff as the world wants. Not only will he give you what you need, he'll give you what you want. That's a powerful promise, another promise. But now we've come full circle to, Lord, teach us how to pray. I went through some things there that are promises in the word, that are acknowledgments in the word, that are guides in the word, and things to remember in the word, just to say and to show that they are in the word. But we, some of us, have had struggle for years and years on how to pray. I go and visit folk, and they say, well, Pastor, if you would just pray for me. No problem. Have you been praying for yourself? Pastor, I just don't know if my prayers are getting through or not. I've prayed about this time and again, and I don't see any progress there. And some folks said, I don't think the Lord hears me. One lady said, well, I got cancer, but I don't bother the Lord because a whole lot of people got cancer. And God, he's good, but he's just so busy. And so we run across all kinds of folk that want the pastor to pray for them because it's good. It says, where two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst. So that two shall agree as to touching anything on earth. So, yes, it's good to pray with the pastor. It's good when the pastor prays, and it is good to expect that the pastor knows how to pray and get a prayer through. And that's what a lot of folk are saying. If I believe that you know how to get a prayer through to God, please put a good word in for me. Well, our prayer life can include that. Nothing wrong with that. But our prayer life, as we grow, ought to grow with us. And I've come across a way to develop a prayer life and to grow as we grow. I was the teacher for a group of teenagers, Bible study, weekly Bible study for a group of teenagers. This is a memorable group. Oh, they were just hungry. They were hungry. And so I was trying to stay ahead of them. And so I got to the point where we were in the church in a room in the back, and we were doing Bible study. They had become so loud. We had been talking about praise. They had become so loud in the praise that we had to go outside and teach a class. We had to teach a class in the dark outside because they were, it's a small church, so they were so loud. All these youth, all these teenagers. And so I'm trying to stay ahead of them, and I'm going to teach them about prayer. And I was teaching them the elements of prayer. And so I said to a sister of mine, I'm trying to teach these young folk the elements of prayer. And she said, well, show me what you're doing. And then she said, you know, that's something that sums all that up. It's called the Acts Prayer. And she said, I'm going to get you the book. And so she did. She brought me the book, and it's A-C-T-S, acronym, Acts. Acts stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. So I read the book, and I began to teach this weekly to this group, Way to Pray, as a systematic way to pray and make sure you cover all the bases. I was just teaching it to the teenagers because I thought it'd be good for them to learn how to pray. I know how to pray. I'm a man. I'm a minister. I know how to pray. But when I began teaching this to them, I began to realize I am not as strong in prayer as I thought I was. This is a good system. It's not for children. It's for everybody. And so I use that system today. I'm about 60 years old, and I'm using that system every day. It is a wonderful system. So the Acts Prayer, the rest of the time I'm going to spend talking about the Acts Prayer, four aspects of prayer. The book, you can go online, just Google, go to Amazon or Google A period, C period, T period, S period. You can get Acts and several authors, but you can get this book online. It's pretty cheap. It's paperback, and it walks you through the prayer. I have made some modifications over the years. I've switched the order in my personal prayer life to adapt it to where I am. But the basis is still there. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Adoration is praise. You praise God because of who he is. Confession is, we'll get to this. We'll start with adoration. If we go in our Bibles, we know adoration. This is the praise age. And in praise, we like to make a lot of noise. Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So we love to praise, and we get in a worship service, and they say, well, everybody just take 2 minutes and praise the Lord. Psalm 150 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I think the message from that psalm in those six verses is praise him. And then Vicky Yohe records this song, and y'all check it to see don't I sound just like Vicky Yohe when I sing a verse of the song. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I can lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nisei, Lord, you reigned in victory, Jehovah Shalom, you are my Prince of Peace. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, then I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Amen. Download it today and see don't I sound just like it. Let the church say amen. My point here being, why does Vicky Yohe praise him? Because of who you are. That's what praise is. Block out all that other stuff we've heard. Praise is what we give God because of who he is. Not what he's done, because of who he is. Blessing him because of what he's done is something else. That's good too. But we praise him. Praise is because of who you are. So now we go and we look at this adoration and this praise. We see going on with this. And so Vicky Yohe says, we praise him because of who you are. Then I hear a song, and I hear this people say, when the praises go up, blessings come down. And that is a true statement. But the problem is it's also a trite statement. In other words, it doesn't really make a lot of sense if it's not explained. God is not a reactive God who sits there waiting to react to whatever we do, including in our prayers. So God is not saying, well, he did a lot of praise for me this morning, so I'm going to bless him this afternoon. But that's not the way the scriptures tell us that God works. But God is a progressive God. He's a proactive God. He's already doing things we never dreamed about on our behalf. Remember that Jesus climbed up on the cross and died for our sins 2,000 years before we committed them. God is a proactive God, not a reactive God. He's not waiting to see how much praise we do, to see how much blessing he gives us. But here's where the song is right. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. Ah, when we get in a praise mode and we are legitimately praising God because of who he is, our eyes begin to open. Our eyes, not God's eyes, our eyes begin to open when we praise him. And we begin to see the blessings coming down. Here is the truth. The blessings are always coming down. The blessings are being rained down on us all the time, but our eyes are not open to those spiritual things all the time. But when we get in praise mode and praise God, the blessings, we began to see them. And so when I do, I'm going to break this prayer down into, I don't want to scare anybody, 1 hour. And 4 15-minute segments. I was working on a project. I got out of a book about praying for 1 hour and structuring prayer. This is not in church, but in my prayer closet for 1 hour. And so the ACTS prayer separates your prayer into 4 different segments, and it recommends that you do 4 equal segments. And so if you're going to do 1 hour, that's 15 segments, one for adoration and praise, one for confession, one for thanksgiving, one for supplication. I'm not recommending that you pray for 1 hour. I'm simply saying this is the way I structured it. So when I began to structure this, I said, wow. Once I learned about praise and what praise is not thanksgiving. Praise is praise. We praise God because of who he is. And so what I have to praise God about? But when I was at Faith Bible Institute, I learned the names of God. And I learned in the names of God that this is a way to praise God. It's a way of prayer. We can use the names and declare certain principles because of what happened in usually the Old Testament. But better than that, now I can use what I learned and praise. And so there are the Jehovah names, Jehovah meaning the existing one. There are the Jehovah names, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. And so when I began to praise him, Lord, I praise you. I praise you, Lord, as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. I praise you, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. I praise you, Jehovah Makadesh, the Lord who sanctifies you. I praise you as Jehovah Tsikanu, the Lord our righteousness. Lord, I praise you as Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord omnipresent. Jehovah Rohi or Ruah, the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, I praise you. And then there are the El names of God. And El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty. Lord, I praise you as El Shaddai. I praise you as El Olam, the everlasting God. Lord, I praise you as Elohim, God all by yourself, the master, the owner, and the creator. Lord, I praise you as El Elyon, the most high God. I praise you as El Gabor, the mighty God. Lord, I praise you. I praise you as Adonai. Adonai, Lord and Master, these names build me up as I appreciate God, as all of these persons and names, the names of God. It's the same God, but these names build up God in us. And then I'm still praying. And then so in my prayer, my praise portion of my prayer, my 1/4 of the prayer dedicated to adoration and praise, I say those things that you know about it. I say those things that we hear. I say those things that the old timers used to say. Oh, you're the lily of the valley. You are the bright and morning star. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're water in dry places and bread in a starving land. You're the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're my comforter
keeper and guide. Come on, y'all, praise him with me. You're my Savior. You're my Redeemer and my Intercessor. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. You're the God who sits high and looks low, the giver of every good and perfect gift, the one that opens doors that no man can shut and shuts doors that no man can open. You're God all by yourself, and I praise you because of who you are. That is adoration. That's my, that's a portion. It's a small portion of, he's the rose of Sharon. The bridge over troubled water. Yeah, we can go on and on and on. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Yeah, he's the author of the Old and the New Testaments. Yeah, he's the God of Moses, the God of Elijah, the God of the Mount of Transfiguration, that the church say amen. God, you are God all by yourself. Master, owner, creator, the God that spoke and the world came into existence. Spoke and water was separated from dry land. Spoke and light was separated from darkness. You're God all by yourself. Amen. And so we praise him because of who you are. That's A, adoration and praise. Next one is confession. And the scripture I use, there's so many, I use the scripture for confession. And I'm going to explain why I use this scripture. It's Romans 10, 9, and 10. We use those two verses a lot for salvation. But Romans 10, 9 says this: if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. But then verse 10 explains. Verse 9 says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. So with the heart, that's where our belief system is, what this calls the heart. And with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. So a thought is not really a thought until we either write it down or say it out loud. A thought is not really a thought. Not an effective thought until we either write it down or say it out loud. We get a lot of things that make sense in our head, but once we put them on paper or speak them out loud, then they become a legitimate thought. And so confession, that's what confession is that when I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, that God is raising from the dead, that's when I can achieve salvation. I can't just ponder it in my mind and think about it. I got to say it out loud. So now in prayer, number two, Acts, prayer number two, Romans 10, 9 and 10, confession. And so in my prayer, in my closet, I often have to condition myself because I've come from some things that were going on and I've run right from one thing to another. So I got to condition myself. So I got a little song I sing in the closet, and this is not my best song, but the lyrics are good. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary just for you, just for you. Now, I just left the mountaintop of praise. And my eyes open to all these blessings that the Lord is raining down on me. And now I go into my segment of confession. I need a conditioning. When I began teaching this prayer, I thought confession was only the confession of sins. I was designing a one-hour prayer for a project.
Can you imagine 15 minutes, one-fourth of that prayer, being devoted to confession of sins? Can you imagine 15 minutes without asking for forgiveness? Because that's supplication. So that's a whole lot of sin. Not saying I don't sin, but that's a whole lot of sin, taking 15 minutes to confess sins. And so after more study, I realized that confession is not just what I've done, but it's also who I am. As I learn more about myself, I confess more. I began with confession of sins, and then who I see myself as, and then who God says that I am. And so I began with confession of sins because we need to do that in our prayer life, in our personal life, in our closet. So I began with confession of sins, but as not to say it ain't that much sin in the world, but I shouldn't be setting myself up for a daily prayer where I do all this confession of sins. I ought to be setting myself up for a life of righteousness where each day I have less confession of sins to do. So one-fourth of my prayer shouldn't always be confession of sins. So then what else is confession? Confession is confessing who I am. So in adoration, we praise God because of who he is. And then in confession, we confess who we are. So I come. The first part of my confession is I come as an empty pitcher to a full fountain. That's who I am. I need the filling of the Lord Jesus. I need the indwelling of the Spirit of the living and true God. I'm an empty pitcher before a filled fountain. Interesting thing about that pitcher is that the old folk used to say, I come before thee as an empty pitcher to a filled fountain. You don't drink out of a pitcher. You drink out of a cup. They didn't say I come as an empty cup ready to drink from the fountain. They say I come as an empty pitcher. And if you are a good person with good manners and you got a pitcher of something, you're willing to share that with other people who have cups. So when I go to an empty pitcher at a filled fountain, I'm ready to have the Lord fill my pitcher up with something I can bless somebody else with. Let the church say amen. So I come as an empty pitcher to a full fountain. That's my posture. Lord, I have sinned. And then I go into my sins of omission. And this is what I call the sins of omission. It's those sins that I committed that I didn't even know they were sins. I've been doing this for the longest time. I didn't know that was sinful. And we learn about those things by being in the Word and being surrounded by the people of God. And as we age, we learn, oh, I didn't even know this was a sin. Lord has opened my eyes to it. So, Lord, please forgive me for those sins that I can't even name because I don't know what they are. And then I also include under the category of omission those things that God has assigned for me to do, or those things that I know to do. But James says that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So those sins, those things that I knew I was supposed to do today, and I didn't do them, I see that as a sin of omission as well. I pray for, I mentioned that, those in my prayer as best I can. And then my sins, Lord have mercy, somebody help me, somebody say amen, my sins of commission, knew better and did it anyhow. I knew it was a sin, but I did it anyhow. And not only that, I just did it day before yesterday, and I did it again today. Lord, I commit and confess my sins to you. Then the next day, that's kind of sad and morbid, but it's true. We need to get that out of our system. The next one is what I see. I confess what I see about me. So I confess my sicknesses and my illnesses. It's about me. I confess my work, my vocation and trade, how that's going. I confess that, how I'm doing with the jobs that I'm working on, how that's going. I confess my ministry, what I'm doing in the ministry, how that's going, good and bad. I confess how I'm operating in my family and in my citizenship and in my community and in those groups that I've been assigned to. I talk about how I'm functioning in them. And then I talk about, I said talk because it's communication with God, how I'm handling my selfishness. Let the church say amen. The number one battle that I perceive in our entire life is who gets to be God. Self wants to be God. Self, from the day we were born, we were born into selfishness, and it's all about me. And the rest of our life, self wants to make it all about us. Some days we win the battle with self. It's stomping totally out. The next day, self is up with a new plan,
to take over. And so we call other people selfish, but we all have an inclination to be selfish. So I update on how I'm handling my battle with selfishness today. And, Lord, how about this one? Lord, I'm struggling. And I talk about where I'm struggling and how I'm struggling. Lord, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. And, Lord, I'm maintaining. You know how we say, I'm just maintaining. I'm maintaining. Where and how am I maintaining? And then, Lord, I'm thriving. That's who I am as well. Lord, I'm thriving in this particular area. That's a confession. I'm confessing who I am. But then here's the one that I discovered. And this one is so powerful. This is what we're going to talk about next week, actually. We're going to have a really special program next week when we come on. We have some guests on. And we're going to talk about this one right here because this one is powerful. And I'm going to spend some time on this one because just like praising God for who he is, I'm going to talk about who I am. And some of this I've not realized yet, but this is who God says that I am. Let the church say amen. I've gone in the scriptures and I find time and again, God calls us something, especially in the New Testament. God calls us something that we don't think we are. And I'm going to start with the last one is that I call folks saints. How are saints doing? Paul said, I write to the saints that are gathered at Philippi. Paul says, farewell to the saints. He's talking about believers in Jesus Christ. When we become a believer in Jesus Christ, we are saints. But when I say folks say, you're a saint, oh, folks get offended. No, I ain't no saint. I ain't no saint. And some folks go even so far as to say, I'm a sinner. The Bible says that everybody sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, we have sinned. That's past tense. But once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're no longer a sinner. A sinner is a person whose sin is on their way to hell. A saint is a person who has accepted Jesus Christ and conquered death for them and that they have eternal life. And as a saint, we are still subject to sin, but we have eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a marked difference there. Don't be caught telling somebody that I'm a sinner. No, we don't confess that we're sinners. We sin, but we're no longer under the Christian designation of a sinner because a sinner's on their way to hell. We are saints. So let me go through who God says that we are. So Deuteronomy 28:13, I'm not going to be able to write all these down, I'm sure. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. Romans 8:17 says, I am a child of God. I'm not just a child of God. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ himself. 1 John 4:4 says, I am an overcomer. And John 8:37 says, not only am I an overcomer, I'm more than a conqueror. And 2 Peter 1:7, for God hath not given me the spirit of fear. I'm not a fearful person, but he's given me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That's who I am. God says that in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God says, I am the righteousness of God. He says this about all of us who believe in him. He says this, I say I, but he says it about all of us. In Genesis 1:26, it says that I am made in the image of God. That's what it says, that I am made in the image of God. And John 8:36 said, I am set free by Jesus himself, the Son of God. 1 Peter 4:9 says that I am a member of a chosen generation, that I am of a royal priesthood, and I am part of a holy nation, peculiar and exclusive unto God, meaning God doesn't have everybody under this designation, but I'm one of them. Then 1 Peter 4:10 says that I've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. Remember, we're including all of these confessions in our prayer. We're sounding, and you can go in the Bible and find your own because there's a whole lot more. These are the ones I use. 1 Peter 2:5, I'm a lively stone in a house that's built by God. Let the church say amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, I am a new creation. And 1 Corinthians 6:19, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. John 15:19, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. In Galatians 5:22-23, I have all 9 fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, because God said so. Ephesians 2:8 says, I am saved by grace. And Matthew 28:20 says, I'm baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Romans 1:7, 1 Corinthians 1:2 say, I am a saint and not a sinner. Now, imagine putting all that together. First, I did who God is. Then I came back and confessed who I am. And then I go to the third aspect of this. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on these last two because I think we have a pretty good feel for Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So I just wanted to point out three things about Thanksgiving that may pique someone's curiosity. So again, 1/4 of our prayer, we practice making Thanksgiving 1/4 of our prayer, thanking God. So when I said in praise, we would praise you because of who you are, not what you've done. We praise you for who you are. If God has never done anything for me, which is impossible, but if God has never done anything for me, he's still God, still has all the powers and all the preeminence and all of the eternity of Almighty God. And so I praise you because of who you are, but I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for what you've done for Christianity. Jesus died for all of us. I thank you for what you've done for this nation. For the longest time, this was a Christian nation. Christians were tolerated. We were not persecuted here. I thank you for that. I thank you for what you've done in my family. I thank you for what you've done in my life. I thank you for what you've done for my friends. So I'm thanking you for what you've done. Thank you for your provisions, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. Thanksgiving. Another aspect of Thanksgiving is it requires faith. Thank God for what we are seeking before it happens. So, Lord, I'm thanking you for that. What I'm about to pray for, even before I pray for it and even before you grant the blessing, I've already thanked you, and I'm going to thank you until I get the blessing. That requires great faith. Earlier, I confessed sickness and illness. I have a particular illness that I've had for about 2 years now, and I didn't understand why it came on me. I'm in an unlikely source for to get this one, but I got it. And so when I got it, I said, Lord, I got something new in my life. And I have not done this in the past. I want to do this. This I got from somebody else. Remember, I said, read and study the word and surround yourself with people of the word. And one of the people of the word provided this to me. Thank God for it. He might didn't put it on you, but thank him for it just anyhow. So when you begin to thank him for it, it will become a manifestation of the power of God in your life at some point. So, Lord, I don't know why I'm thanking you for this malady and this disease, but I thank you for it, and I try to thank you for it every day, and sometimes it hurts really bad. I still want to thank you before it materializes. So I thank God for the trial and perhaps even the deliverance. We don't always get delivered, but even for the deliverance. Thank God that some good may come out of everything. And then Thanksgiving requires focus and attention. Learn to see God's blessing. Learn to see God in everything. And in everything, give thanks. There's a difference between Thanksgiving and praise. Praise God, Vicky Yohi, because of who you are. Thank God for what you have done. Both are important elements of worship, but they are distinct. Remember, a football team has an offense and a defense. Both are important, but they are not the same. Thanksgiving and praise are both elements of worship, powerful elements of worship, but they're not the same thing. Examine our lives and begin to say, thank you, Lord, out loud. And then the last one is supplication. It's a powerful word. It's a big-time word for petition or asking God for stuff. Requests made unto God. And we know that Paul told the Philippians to make your request known unto God in thanksgiving. So when you come before the Lord to ask for something, thank him. And so I like to compare prayer to Jesus and the model prayer that we started out talking about. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father. And that puts a whole lot of things in context with the father in a family situation. That you are having a communication with your father. You're talking to your father, and you don't talk to your father just any kind of way, and you don't come before your father in an attitude and just any old kind of way. You talk to the father Now, this is our heavenly, our spiritual Father. This is the mighty God that we're talking to. So we're going to adorn ourselves, dress ourselves up a certain way to come before our earthly Father. Imagine how we come before our heavenly Father. So we don't just come before God any kind of way. We talk to him like we're talking to our Father. We don't say to him, give me that, because supplication is asking for stuff. We don't say to our earthly Father, give me a new bicycle. We can say it, but we probably won't be riding. So we come before God, not to trick him, not to butter him up, not with all that other stuff, but we come before him in the right spirit. And then the fourth part of our tax prayer is supplication, request, petition. It's man. And so a lot of people think prayer is asking God for stuff. That's not it at all. There's a whole lot of forms of prayer. And one form of prayer that many of us have achieved is fellowship prayer, where we just talk to God and we just pray, or sometimes we don't say anything, just to be in his presence. Just to come into the presence of God, we use prayer as fellowship. That's prayer of intercession. I'm not talking about that today. That's a whole different thing, where we pray for other people, put ourselves in the gap and pray for other folks. But here we're talking about supplication, requests, and petitions. We're talking about asking God. Prayer is communication with God. Ask God for things is one-fourth or one element of the act's prayer. Supplication. That's the last one. Again, you can change the order of those if you need be. Now, some reminders about that. We know how to ask for stuff, but some of the reminders of things. When I did my confession, I confess all those sins. Now is when I ask God to forgive me for those sins. I can ask individually, or I can ask God to forgive the list of those things. Walk with me, Lord, show me the way of repentance. Teach me repentance. Teach me how to handle that sin that I'm doing every day that I'm grappling with, and I know it's wrong, but I keep doing it. Teach me. Show me. Give me deliverance, please, oh, Lord. I pray for deliverance from that thing. I pray, Lord, for deliverance from smoking. I know that smoking is not good for my body. I pray for deliverance from smoking. And I'm using examples here is that now is when we address those things. Remember I said, imagine saying your sins for 15 minutes and not asking for forgiveness. Well, now in this section of the prayer is when we ask for forgiveness. And so we ask for forgiveness. Teach me, O Lord, this is a request, to see those things like you see them. Teach me, O Lord, to see the blessings that you have for me. Teach me, O Lord, to learn more about myself. All of that's things that we've already addressed in the previous three sections of the prayer, because we want to address who am I. Well, teach me, Lord, every day more about who I am. Teach me, Lord, every day more about who you are, adoration. And then those things that I've confessed, those things. And so we wrap up with, Lord, we ask you for this, we ask you for that, and my time is about up here today on Jeremiah Speaks broadcast, but it's acts, prayer, adoration, confession, supplication, and again, finally, supplication is when you ask God for things, ask him in faith. James says ask him in faith, but also in obedience. And then Matthew 6:33 says that if seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. So once we've made us come into righteousness, we're made righteous by the blood of Christ. Jesus justifies us and makes us as righteous before God. Then we can begin to ask him for the desires of our heart. I hope this has been helpful for somebody today. I'm going to see if we can do the, my phone number, 804-313-7853. 804-313-7853. I certainly would value an email at goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. And so I love sitting in today. It's been a wonder and a blessing for me. I hope it's been a blessing for somebody. We thank Mr. Gray, and then we're glad to be able to share the Acts Prayer with you. Try it out this week. May God bless and keep you, everyone. This is the Fivefold Ministry.